Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Our hope is not in anyone or anything else. Our hope is not in the Pope. Our hope is not in Muhammad. Our hope is not in any of the Indian gods or the Chinese gods or Allah or any other type of entity, idol, or God. We know the name. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator. His name is Jesus. Our hope is in this Jesus. Our hope is in this Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. This morning, before you're seated, I want to turn your attention to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, and then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to thank everyone that was a part of our Easter service last week. We had a good time. It was a success. Everything went good. The food was good. The sweets were good. The singing was good. Everything was just good, church. And I thank you for being a part of our Easter service last week and really just making it such a success. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, it says, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul the apostle says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This morning, I want to speak on rebuilding your altar. You may be seated, church. Rebuilding your altar. It is an interesting time, a day and age that we are living in. A time when statistically, according to statistics, people are praying less. Even Christians are spending less time with God in prayer. Prayer is no longer popular. No longer does it seem essential for some Christians to have a strong prayer life. We are all too distracted, probably too busy, probably too comfortable. Prayer no longer looks useful when you have everything that you need. Prayer no longer seems practical when you can figure out everything yourself. Who needs prayer in 2023? Who needs prayer, church? We have doctors, we have nurses and hospitals we can go to. Who needs prayer? We have the internet and books and all these applications and the encyclopedia. We can figure it all out ourselves. We're so smart. We can travel to the moon. We can travel down into the depths of the ocean. We can fly planes across the sea. We can drive our automobiles across the land. We're innovative, advanced. We know it all. We're so smart. So, church, what's the need for prayer? Who has time for prayer when you have entertainment and TV and videos and social media and things like YouTube and so many other things that can just keep you scrolling and passing the time away? Can we even schedule it in? We're so busy, so distracted. Is there even any time for prayer? Can we fit it in our 24-hour day? There are only 7 days a week, 168 hours a week. Is that even enough time to just fit in just a small amount of prayer? It probably is the greatest tragedy of the world today. People are praying less. Families are praying less. Marriages are trying to survive without prayer. Children are no longer seeing mommy and daddy pray. Our schools have no prayer. Our workplaces, ban prayer. Our leaders in government make big, important decisions that affect us all without prayer. Our churches are even trying to carry on in 2023 without prayer. Apparently, the word is that, well, we no longer need it. We no longer need prayer. The world seems to go and continue without prayer. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Things are okay without prayer. Who needs prayer? We are okay without prayer. We can seemingly survive without prayer. We can wake up and we can drive and go about our day. We can commute and go to work and go to school without prayer. What's the need for prayer? Always entertained, always busy, always working, always playing, always have something planned, always doing something. We've got something on the schedule. Yet no time for prayer, no urgency to pray, no desire to pray. We have everything that we need. We are comfortable. So what is the desire? What is the need for prayer? And so we are living in a time when people are praying much less. And in our scripture today, the people of Israel are in somewhat of a similar situation. See, what's happening in 1 Kings chapter 18 is that a man named Ahab has risen to power in Israel along with his wife Jezebel. He has led the nation of Israel into the worship of false gods and has even set out to murder all the prophets of God. This couple, Ahab and Jezebel, they were the most wicked, the most evil rulers, leaders that Israel ever known. But there was this particular prophet who was a thorn in Ahab's side. He was this powerful man, mightily used of God, and his name was Elijah. And no matter how hard Ahab would try to defeat Elijah, Ahab would never be successful. And in our scripture, as it takes place, our scripture today in 1 Kings takes place as this becomes a high point, the climax. It's a dramatic scene under the instruction of God as Elijah comes out of hiding. He's this man of God. He's this prophet. And he sends word to Ahab that he is ready for a showdown. He is ready to prove once and for all to everyone who the real God is. And so Ahab brings all of his people and all of his men of God, all of his prophets which worship the false god Baal, and he meets Elijah on a nearby mountain. It was going to be a supernatural showdown where the God of Elijah would be proven against the false gods of this world. And the prophets of Baal went first. They would begin to prepare their animal, their bull, and they placed the bull on the altar for their god Baal. And they began to pray to their god, asking him to send fire down to the altar. They started in the early morning. They would continue to pray until noon. They cried out for their god Baal. They would cry out and shout, but nothing happened. They even began to dance around the altar, shouting and praying and crying out, yet still nothing happened. At noontime, the prophet Elijah began to tease them, shout louder. Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God is busy. Shout a little louder. Maybe you just need to wake your God up. So they began to shout a little louder, and they danced around and they prayed all around the altar until late evening. But still, nothing. And finally, when Ahab and his so-called prophets gave up, Elijah gathered the people to himself and said, "Come near to me and help me repair the altar of the Lord that is broken down." And that is our text today. See, the nation of Israel was in this great spiritual decline. And I believe this whole ordeal, this whole story, was about restoring them and getting them back to the altar of the one true God. The nation was in the grip of sin and idolatry. They were on the brink of the terrible judgment of God. But God would send this man, Elijah, to preach a message of mercy to Israel. I love this because even though Elijah, he comes with this stern and strong and straightforward message, but yet he's this walking representation of God's mercy. God loved Israel so much that even when they were in this backslidden state and they weren't praying and they were in this spiritual decline serving other gods, God still gave them Elijah. And God sent Elijah to preach a very simple message, church. We must get back to the altar. We must rebuild the altar. The altar of the Lord is broken down, Elijah said. We must rebuild the altar. We must have an altar. If our God is going to show up, if God is going to show himself real in our lives, we have got to have an altar. Church, the problem with the nation of Israel is that they had found themselves with a broken and unused altar. The last thing that you need when you're desperate for the Lord to intervene in your life is a broken altar. We stand no chance against the enemy with a broken altar. We stand no chance against the forces of darkness in this world without prayer. We stand no chance against the schemes of the devil without prayer. We stand no chance against things such as sickness and disease without prayer. We stand no chance against feelings and thoughts of hopelessness and discouragement and confusion without prayer. We must have prayer. We must rebuild our altar. The cost of not praying is too high. Confusion and unbelief are very close companions of prayerlessness. We are more likely to fall into sin and stay living in sin when we aren't praying. We lose sight of things eternal when we aren't praying. We forget about the promises of God when we don't pray. We miss out on the miraculous power of God when we don't pray. Simply, our families suffer. Our churches suffer. Our cities suffer. Our nation suffers. Our world suffers when we don't pray. The cost of not praying is too high. Historically, there is always a significant link between the condition of the altar and the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. When Israel would neglect their altar, when they would begin to turn their back on God, the nation would fall into this great state of a spiritual decline. Whenever they would abandon the altar, they would always drift into the bondage of sin and idolatry. Church, I do believe that it is as simple as that. When we aren't praying, it opens the door for sin. When we aren't making ourselves daily accountable to this holy God, there is no longer a conviction or a feeling of responsibility to not sin. When we neglect the altar where we can find our holy God, sin and darkness abounds in our life. The reason why the altar was the best indicator of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel was because the altar was where God chose to meet them. Truly, it was their meeting place. The altar is where God deals with his people. The altar is where God speaks to his people and strengthens his people. The altar is where man can meet God and God can meet man. And when the altar is neglected, when communion with God no longer matters, this is when sin rises up in the hearts of people and they begin to slowly but surely backslide. The author of Proverbs says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The history of Scripture proves that this is true. When they were a praying nation, church, when they had an active altar in Israel. They were a powerful people. They were an exalted nation. God was with them. God was fighting for them. God was on their side. But when the altar no longer held a place in the nation of Israel, without fail every single time, that is when sin would rise up in the nation. And so this man Elijah, this man of God, this prophet Elijah comes on the scene and he says, look at the condition of your altar. Oh, church, what an important thing to do. Look at the condition of your altar. Look at the condition of your prayer life. No wonder you have fallen into sin. No wonder you have backslidden. You've neglected the most important thing, the altar. You've broken down the altar. You have found yourself in a dark and sinful state in life because you have no altar. You have found yourself far, far from God, worshiping false idols, resembling the world because you have a broken down altar. And so God sent Elijah to preach a very strong message, but a simple message. Let's repair the broken altars. Let's repair the broken altars. We've got to rebuild the altar. Get back to the altar. Get back to seeking the one true God again. Get back to becoming the God-fearing, God-loving, praying people that you used to be. Church, I can't overstate this, the importance this morning of having an altar. The most important thing in our life is that we would have a meeting place where we can meet with God and God can meet with us. Elijah declared, don't you go any longer with a broken down altar. Don't you neglect that altar, but you start repairing it. You start building it back up. You've got to have an altar. The altar, church, is the place where heaven meets earth. It is the zip code where a person can meet God. It is where God deals with the heart of a person. It is where a person can get with this holy God, and this holy God can get with a person. The altar in the Old Testament was never supposed to fall into disrepair. It was never supposed to be neglected or left behind, but the altar was supposed to be a central part of their lives. It was intended to be this place of daily sacrifice. That brings me to Romans chapter 12. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, these were people, church, who were very familiar with that word sacrifice. But now Paul is not talking about the sacrifice of bulls and goats on the altar. He was talking about us on the altar. Present your bodies, he says. God wants you. God wants us. He wants communion with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants a daily relationship, a daily walk, a daily communication with you. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he wants everything. He wants you holding nothing back. He wants you to seek his will, his plan for your life. He wants you communing with him daily at the altar of prayer, church. And when we do, we will find ourselves not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind day by day. The answer is prayer. Church, if we are going to rebuild our altar, we must recognize that, well, maybe our altar is broken. But this is where it gets tricky, because we are experts at deceiving ourselves. Solomon said, the way of a man seems right to the man. If we aren't careful, we will convince ourselves, well, there's nothing wrong with the way that I live. I come to church on Sunday. I believe in God. If we aren't careful, we will convince ourselves that there's nothing wrong with a broken down altar. Or even worse, that we are okay with no altar at all, without a prayer life. But we must not fool ourselves, church, because when we neglect it, when we neglect the altar, we will surely drift further and further away from God. When we neglect the altar, sin will begin to gain a foothold in our life. When we neglect the altar, the enemy will take notice. He's vulnerable. He hasn't been at the altar. She is powerless. She has spent no time at the altar. It is time to attack. They have not been at their altar. It's time for temptation. They're far from their altar. Church, the spirit of darkness takes notice of a broken altar. Oh, the devil loves to see a dusty, unused altar. He loves to see a home full of children and a mom and dad who never use an altar. The enemy of our soul celebrates when he sees a neglected altar. Oh, it's time to attack that family. They haven't been at their altar. It's time to tempt them. They haven't been at the altar. It's time to cast doubt in their mind. It's time to discourage them, for they've spent no time with God at an altar. This is how the enemy causes division in families, churches. This is how the enemy causes a divorce in a marriage. This is how the enemy gets people to backslide and run to foreign things such as drugs and alcohol. This is even how the enemy gets the Christian to begin to question their faith and throw in the towel. He takes notice, church, of an unused altar. He takes notice of an old, dusty altar. He takes notice of the very fact that we have spent little to no time in prayer. And he attacks when we aren't prayed up. And he tempts when we aren't prayed up. And he discourages when we aren't prayed up. Church, nothing good comes of not praying. Nothing good comes of not having an altar. It's my burden today that God would convict us until we would run back to an altar, that we would see the eternal importance, that we would have a real vision of the eternal significance of a meeting place with God, an altar, and that we would see and understand the very high cost of not praying. Lord, don't let us be satisfied with unused altars. Lord, don't let us be satisfied with just coming to church on Sunday, but having no communion with you during the week. Lord, don't let us be satisfied with allowing our altar to fall in a state of disrepair. Convict us, God, until we run back to the altar. Convict our families, Lord, until we begin to use our altar. Lord, convict us until we run back to our altar. The altars were broken down in Israel, yet no one seemed to care. So the prophet Elijah began to gather the people to himself. And what did they do? They began to rebuild that altar. He understood there was no way that God was going to intervene without one. And so Elijah began to build it. He built it with 12 stones. He put firewood on top of the stones. He dug a ditch around the altar. He began to prepare a bull. He placed it on top of the wood. He told the people to go fill 4 barrels with water. Go ahead and pour that water all over the altar. They began to soak the sacrifice. The wood was soaked. They filled the trenches around the altar with water. The altar was absolutely drenched with water. The challenge was for God to answer by fire. And Elijah made sure that when the fire fell, everyone would know that only God could have done it, because this sacrifice was drenched in water. Finally, when it was time to offer the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah began to pray. He began to pray. He began to call upon his God. And when he prayed at that altar, the fire of the Lord fell and it began to consume that burnt sacrifice. And it began to consume the wood and it began to consume the stones and the dust and the dirt. And it even soaked up the water that was filled up in the trench. The fire of God fell and the power of God rested upon that altar. Church, let me tell you, when you run back to the altar, God is going to show himself real in your life. He's going to move in your life. The fire of God's going to fall on you. The power of God's going to rest upon you. And he's going to meet you at that altar. He's faithful to be there at that altar. He's going to be there, church, when you run back to your altar. We must rebuild our altars. My late pastor would often quote this verse to the church. No doubt he knew that this was the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. What was God talking about back there in 2 Chronicles? He was speaking about the altar. When you begin to rebuild that altar, I'm going to begin to forgive your sin. I'm going to begin to hear your prayers. I'm going to begin to heal your land. Church, it's all about rebuilding the altar. The answer for our world today, the answer to all of your problems, the answer is prayer. Prayer is our answer. Things are going to change. Things will change. Things have to change when we begin to build our altar and call upon this name, Jesus. Jesus is going to show himself faithful. Let's stand this morning, church. The author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, says some of the wisest words, in my opinion, in all of the Bible, saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He goes on saying, looking unto Jesus. Don't run your race without looking unto Jesus. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Let us, church, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, this life is too fragile. This life is too short for us to hear a message such as this and simply do nothing about it. A message that even the prophet Elijah preached to old backslidden Israel so long ago. A message to rebuild the altar. You know, when you think about it, none of those people who were under the sound of Elijah's voice who heard that message oh so long ago are around anymore. That was a long time ago. But I wonder today how many joined in and did something about it. Was it just a few? Was it just a remnant of people, or was it a lot? Was it most of them? We will know one day when we are in the land of glory, church. Some glad morning, that song says, when this life is over, we will find out. But life is too short Life is oh too fragile for us to not consider the word today, to consider that maybe this message was just for me. Maybe God was speaking to me. Look at the condition of your altar. Look at your condition of your altar. Look at your walk with God. Look at your prayer life. No wonder you're in a bad state. No wonder you're in a backslidden state. You've got to rebuild your altar. You've got to run back while you can. Church, can you commit this morning to rebuilding your altar? Can you decide in your heart today that right here, right now, starting now, starts a brand new chapter for me and my life? We will be spending some time at the altar. Me and my family will be spending some time at the altar. I will come daily at the altar. We will not allow the altar to get dusty. We will not neglect the altar.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.